perhaps the claim in 1776 that all men are created equal was not merely a truth claim, as we might say nowadays, which was an 18th century quaint idea, but perhaps it is a truth applicable to all men in all times, as Abraham Lincoln said. If that's the case, that's a very different way to think about those things. And that means that there are permanent things that could guide us. Doesn't give us the answers, isn't immediately applicable, but could guide us as we think about the actual circumstances of politics.
Hello and welcome. We're here in the Boyle Radio Studio of the Hillsdale College campus in Washington, D.C. I'm Hillsdale College student Ben Dietrich, and with me today is the dean of the new Stephen Amy Van Andel Graduate School of Government. He is also vice president of Washington Operations for the college. In addition to being the dean for the graduate school, Dr. Spalding will also teach graduate level classes. So, how does Hillsdale teach politics, and how is it different from other graduate schools? That's what we're going to be discussing today with Dr. Spalding. For more information on the Graduate School of Government, be sure to check out dc.hillsdale.edu, where you can find additional details, including more interviews with faculty members of the new graduate school. So, Dr. Spalding, thank you for joining me today.
Well, Ben, it's great to be with you, and this is an exciting time to launch this new school in Washington, D.C.
First, tell me a little bit about what this graduate school is about, why it is necessary.
I suppose the first question is, why in the world would we be doing this? Washington, D.C., among other things, in addition to being a the center of political activity at the national level in America, there are lots of graduate schools here, lots of universities, and master's programs are kind of a dime a dozen here. Why do we need another one? Well, as an extension of Hillsdale's teaching mission to recover the permanent ideas going back to the classical understanding of politics and to unite them with how to think about circumstances using the virtue of prudence and statesmanship, there really isn't that option for that kind of school here. We want to do something different, which is not to teach you to accommodate to the status quo, which is what most of these other schools do, but we want to try to teach people how to think about politics and how to, as a result, know how to act in a political environment. And we think that's something very different, that's unique, doesn't exist here, and accords well with Hillsdale's deep thinking on this. And is something we can do to continue our work to teach, but also to help bolster civil and religious freedom, which goes back to our founding articles.
And that type of study of politics might not exist here, but it does exist in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the main campus is. And of course, I'm a senior there, and I've been studying politics there. And I know from that study that we kind of see politics at Hillsdale when we're studying it as a higher thing than I think a lot of people in other schools do when they're talking about it as a science, for instance, purely a means to get to the end. Can you explain for listeners out there that may not be so well versed in the way in which Hillsdale pursues politics, what that really means, the way in which the classics saw politics?
Sure. I think the first point to make is the way we normally think about politics, which say day to day in a place like Washington, D.C., is very different than how we're going to teach about it. Which is so today we think of politics when you read the Washington Post or hearing about a congressman on the Hill or what it might be. Politics is really about getting political power and getting reelected. And has nothing to do with what George Washington Plunkett called book learning. Don't have time for that, he famously wrote. Statesmanship is about getting votes and doing the things necessary to achieve political power. That's a very low and narrow view of politics, recognizing that politics and getting elected is part of that, but it misses a larger purpose behind politics. And that thing is connected back to growing out of man's nature and what it means to be human and flourish as a human and coming to think about broader ideas and things we in common can pursue which directs us towards questions of the common good, the creation of the city, the polis, regimes, and questions of justice. And that's how we're going to teach politics. That's the starting point. And then the question is, well, what does that mean in America? And what does all of that mean for today? So many years, not only after our founding, but after these ideas were first written down in really old books. And we think there's a lot of wisdom there that actually is very applicable now in our politics today.
And there are those out there that argue, you know, the classical understanding of politics might have been good then, but doesn't apply today.
Yeah,
what's the argument against that?
Well, the sense is, it's like the founding itself, right? That was a long time ago, and it might have been good for the 18th century, and you know, they wore silly clothes and funny hats. And there are a lot of people who have that sense that it's merely history, and that's the wrong way to look at it. The claim here, which we want to investigate and think through, which is a deeper argument about politics, which is going on today. We see debates about what does the founding mean? What do principles mean? What does it mean to have principles in politics? That's a live debate. But America's founders and the classical thinkers going back before them and the long development of these ideas is a serious debate, intellectual debate, which has political implications about what is the ground of those ideas. And is it possible that there might be a ground of those ideas that transcends history? Perhaps the claim in 1776 that all men are created equal was not merely a truth claim, as we might say nowadays, which was an 18th century quaint idea, but perhaps it is a truth applicable to all men in all times, as Abraham Lincoln said. If that's the case, that's a very different way to think about those things. And that means that there are permanent things that could guide us, doesn't give us the answers, isn't immediately applicable, but could guide us as we think about the actual circumstances of politics. And that's a very different way to think about politics, because it means there might be truth, there might be fundamental things, permanent things that we can aim towards. And aiming towards that would be a good thing, good for our country, good for ourselves. And at this point, see, now we're into that's the classical way of thinking about politics. And Aristotle would be spot on in that conversation.
And you cite Abraham Lincoln there in your answer. He's on the front cover of your brochure for the Stephen Amy Van Andel Graduate School of Government here in D.C. How does Lincoln fit into the picture of what a statesman ought to be?
Well, part of it asks this question about what's the connection then with this idea of statesmen, because aren't those, old, a politician that's long dead is a statesman, I think was Joe Cannon's, the congressman, that was his definition. But the connection back to this idea of classical thinking and classical knowledge is crucial, because if there are guiding principles that can be understood, those are abstractions. That doesn't necessarily help us know what to do now in particular circumstances. Aristotle can't give us that answer. He doesn't. He writes a whole book on ethics and another on politics where he never directly answers the question. What he does say is, if you want to know about the virtues of prudence and about justice, go and study those who have a reputation for those things, which is why biography is the great way to study history. But it gets us to this question of statesmen. You want to study the most excellent forms of individuals who understand deeply those principles, but then try to work them out, perhaps imperfectly, perhaps prudentially, which is, say, under the particular circumstances, given the choices they have, in a political context. And of those, the great examples we have, the founders themselves, Washington, Churchill, Lincoln, in the American context, is just a wonderful example of what a statesman is and how he worked through a great crisis, which at its heart was a challenge to a fundamental truth at the center of what America means. So it really is the center, the great example of precisely the kind of thinking and the kind of individuals we hope to study and emulate.
Right. And I have to say, as a student at Hillsdale's main campus, one of the things I've always admired about the school and the way that they study is that you read primary texts. You read what Lincoln actually had to say, the debates that he had. And it's a very different way of doing things because, of course, Lincoln is a hero to both in America today, the right and the left. I think all sides of America and the political aisle kind of respect Lincoln for what he was. But the question of, you know, why was he great is more complicated.
No, that's right. And how to know that, we think it's better to actually see what Lincoln says. If you think that politics is about individuals, human beings, who are capable of thinking about questions such as justice, if you think politics is about those individuals making decisions based on the information they have under the circumstances, and that some of them have done it well, excellently, like Lincoln, it behooves us not to study some secondary book. I don't really care what the professor so-and-so at whatever university has to say and interpret or deconstruct. I'm more interested is, how did Lincoln do that? What did he think? Now, we can disagree. We can argue about which ones, which models we like. We can, and that's what we want to do. That's why you study statesmanship and different right. case studies. But there's something with, we want to know what they think and how they thought this through.
Yeah, and that's important. Now, you mentioned that there is a discussion, of the different ways in which you could see him. And I want to talk about more specifically, of course, at the beginning of this conversation, you said that other schools teach politics differently, that there are different ways in which you can understand politics than perhaps the classical narrative or the classical understanding. You just don't get that at a lot of schools out there. You just don't anymore. And so my question is, at Hillsdale, when you study, if you're going to study at the Graduate School of Government, of course, you're going to get that understanding. But will you also have the opportunity to compare and discuss the differences between that understanding and the more progressive or modern way in which to approach politics?
No, of course, and you have to. The point is, but you need to back up and see it in perspective. The problem with the way politics is taught today, very clear in higher education and schools that want to teach about politics, is they teach about politics using secondary sources. It's all kind of theories of almost a behavioral sense of politics. How things are done and actually operate. In short, it's teaching about the status quo, how to accommodate to it, how to deal with it, how laws are actually made today. Now, that's good to know that, how laws are actually made, but perhaps that's not the way they ought to be made. Perhaps there's a larger understanding of American politics one should learn about. And perhaps behind that, there's a larger and deeper understanding about what politics itself is, of which America is a particular example or version of in the context of a particular regime and its history and a constitutional system. So it's not that we want to ignore that and stick our head in the sand and merely talk about these old ideas. We think that there's a larger debate going on. That's how to think about politics. That's actually a debate between those older ideas represented in a particular form in America and how that plays out and the debates over its meaning. And this newer way of thinking things we associate with progressivism in the last century, modern liberalism, which we see around us in, kind of changing and morphing its form into various radical versions. We think that's a pretty significant debate, which has a lot to do with how we're governed. Today, most of our laws are actually made by bureaucrats and in various agencies and departments that we never actually vote on, as opposed to Congress, which actually has elections and representation and expresses the principle of consent. That's a significant difference, which we ignore today when we merely study how politics works right now. You might learn something immediately useful. I kind of doubt that. But you don't see the broader picture. You miss the forest for the trees.
Yeah. Now, who is this graduate school intended for, would you say?
So no, this is, we've got a very clear intention here, which is to say this school is going to intentionally attract and work with what we call working professionals, people who are in Washington, D.C., working in the administration, working in Congress, at a law firm, in the media, journalism, working at think tanks. There are lots of young people here who are here for the right reason. They've self-selected. They're interested in politics. They want to make a change. But they're already into their careers, but they still want to go to good education. These are the people that go and want to get master's degrees around Washington, D.C. Well, we want to give them an option, which we think is a unique option, a different option, which doesn't exist today, which is to study these things in this way. And if what we know already, just announcing the program, but what we know already is there's a lot of interest because this kind of school doesn't exist. And I think there's a yearning for it. And I think we're going to do great. And it's going to be a very influential program, which as an extension of Hillsdale College's great teaching and the way it approaches things, this will be a natural extension. It will radiate Hillsdale teaching right here in Washington, D.C., in the way we can do best.
Dr. Spalding, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
This has been a discussion with Dr. Matthew Spalding, Dean of the Van Andel Graduate School of Government. It is brought to you by Hillsdale College. For more information on the Graduate School of Government, please log on to dc.hillsdale.edu, where you can also find more interviews with Graduate School of Government faculty members. Thank you for listening.